Welcome to the She Blows It podcast.
If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
We are kicking it on season 6, episode number 4, Private School versus Public School. And today I'm joined by the homies, DeJuan, Kendra, and Eric. And tonight we are discussing our experiences in the public school system, what the differences are between private and public schools, what do these differences mean, and what integration of private schools and public schools would look like. So before we get into it, be sure to subscribe to this podcast on all platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, Radio Public, Breaker, and Google Podcasts. To catch up with the latest content, follow the She Blows It podcast on Instagram at SheBlowsIt_pod. So now, I want to allow the crew to introduce themselves, and I kind of stole something from Kendra here. So I want all you guys to introduce yourselves, and I want you to tell the audience one interesting thing about yourself. So let's go ahead and let ladies go first. Kendra, why don't you start us off and introduce yourself and tell us where we can find you on multiple platforms, and then tell us one interesting thing about yourself, darling.
Okay. First of all, Carla, shout out to you for, you know, giving me credit. I appreciate that because we don't always do that, right?
We don't.
So thank you for that. So hey, everyone, this is Kendra from Coffee with Kendra. And a fun fact about me is my waist is 25 inches. And I dropped the mic, y'all.
Okay.
Lies. I say it's less than 25.
It's not.
All right. DeJuan, introduce yourself to the people. Tell the audience about you.
I am DeJuan. Co-host, anchor host of Grown Man Logic, also available on anchor.fm/grown man logic, author, poet, pro wrestler. A fun fact about myself is that I am an extreme germaphobe to the point that I ate pizza with a fork and a knife until I was 16 years old.
That's a mental disorder.
I'm done with you.
It's facts, though.
Eric.
Look, do I even have to introduce myself, Carla?
You are the roomie, but I still we still need our new listeners to know everybody.
This is me. You know that one guy, host of the Uncomfortable Conversation podcast. Catch me at UKNO that one guy or at the Uncomfortable at Uncomfortable Convo on Instagram. I'm always here, y'all, so y'all already know me. Fun fact about myself. I could draw. How about that? Here.
Really?
Yeah, I know how to draw, but I hate it. Does that make sense?
Man, I known this dude for 13, almost 14 years, and I didn't know he could draw.
Yeah, I know how to draw. Okay. Yeah, fun fact about me. I know how to draw. And Kendra, you childish. Go ahead.
Hey, yo, Eric, you owe me 5 minutes, man.
5 minutes?
You owe me 5 minutes.
All right.
Well, now that we got to know some interesting facts about you guys, that was very interesting. But if you guys care to know an interesting fact about me, which I don't know if it's that interesting, but I like fishing. I like to go fishing. I like to go fishing in fresh water. I like to put the worm on the hook and like see it squirm and stuff. I don't mind getting my hands dirty.
Serial killer.
Fun fact about me.
She is a serial killer.
Listen. Serial. I'm gonna I'm gonna eat, okay? I'm gonna eat regardless. So and that's one of the things that they didn't teach us in school, survival. So, okay. So I know I went to a public school in Delray Beach. Kendra, what school did you go to? Let's talk about like high school. Let's just go with high school.
For the listeners out there, if anyone has heard of this school from Los Angeles, though, I went to Luzinger. Actually, that was kind of popular. People might know. I went to Luzinger High School.
Eric. You said what? Losing.
Luzinger. Okay. Luzinger.
Okay. losing her.
What? That's what I thought losing? I heard.
Losing her.
Oh, my God. All right.
What's up, Carla? How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm all right. You said high school?
Yeah. What high school did you go to that?
Okay. Let's be more specific with this question. I went to six high schools.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I graduated from Cleveland South High School. But yeah, I went to six high schools.
Why did you go to six high schools, if you don't mind?
Because my mama a gypsy and she liked to move around a lot.
Yes,
but we for real though, like, yeah, I went to six high schools. I graduated from Cleveland South High School, which is, I don't even think it's still standing anymore. But yeah, that's the school I went to.
So now my question to you is like, how did you moving around school to school, like, did that impact you in any way, or did it kind of diversify your outlook and perspective on life and kind of expanded your knowledge on like different areas? Like, do you think it was like a learning experience, or do you think that it was something that kind of like interrupted your ability to be a teenager / young adult?
I think that because we moved, okay, let's just go from first grade to 12th. No, fuck it. I got to add kindergarten in there also. So within those 13 years of schooling, I have been to over 17 different schools. Within your 13 years, I've been in like, yes, about 17. It helped me with my people skills because I always had to try to make new friends everywhere we went. But it took away from that stability of, you know, like how some people got friends from this, that, and yes, you know, mm-hmm. how some people got friends from years back. No, with me, I have friends of 20 years, 15 years, blah, 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 because I always moved around. So it only helped me with my people skills, but my stability, it damaged that heavily.
Yeah. Yeah, I could imagine. I work in case management and I see a lot of, manage a lot of cases where clients talk about how unstable they feel, and those feelings of like instability carry on because they don't address it, but they feel so unstable just in life in general because they don't know like what their next move will be or when the next move will be because they're always anticipating the move. So it creates a lot of anxiety and a lot of fears and some people, but I'm glad that you were able to see more positive out of it and actually utilize that to your benefit, you know what I mean? As opposed to making it like a downfall and something that's gonna hinder you and keep you stagnant. So big props to you, Eric.
Appreciate it.
All right, let's move on to Dewan. Dewan, you went to private school.
I did. I went to
privilege.
I went to the number 4 ranked high school in the United States of America, Brookline High School, privilege. Which is actually a very exclusive Jewish high school. So
you went to a Jewish high school?
I did.
Okay.
Which. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we'll get into it down the line, which taught me very, vast things in terms of like finances and stuff like that. Well, I mean, I'm sure we'll get into it. It's number 4 ranked high school. Shout out to all of the Warriors out there. I actually went to Brookline High. I paid tuition to go because I lived in the hood, but I was privileged enough to go to a very, very exclusive school that carried a lot of weight when it came to college applications and SATs and things of that nature. So I guess I'm the outlier here.
Yeah, you are like, you are the only one on the episode that's going to private school. And that's why this is going to be such an interesting conversation. So what we know, okay, so the facts that we do know about private schools and public schools, we know that public schools are funded by the government, straight up. And we know that, like, in our government, there's not a lot of emphasis placed on, like, the public school system, you know, is depending on your zip code. That determines, like, you know, the quality of education that you're going to get, like, your socioeconomic status, all of that kind of contributes to where you go to school and the type of, like, curriculum and high quality curriculum that you can receive. Then on the flip side, Duan, correct me if I'm wrong, private schools are funded by donations and endowment, right?
Correct.
Okay. So Duan, do you believe that attending a private school boosts your chances into getting into selective universities like Harvard, Yale, and Princeton?
Absolutely. Unequivocally, no doubt. It's usually because you're on a first name basis with donors. And I had a double benefit. Not only did I go to a private school, but I was also good at sports.
Oh, wow. So, oh,
my black privilege card.
Listen, I almost had a white privilege card. I was like two shades away, just two shades away. But
right, yeah, you red light.
But shut up. But to answer your question, undoubtedly. I mean, because because Kendra, you did no, Carla, you did college. You're in college, yeah.
I am, yes.
Yeah, so you know, like, when you're filling out like the college application, they ask you what school you went to, and like that school 100% like carries weight. And then, you know, when they request the transcripts,
wait a minute. I went, just to clarify, but I dropped out a couple times. I'm like Kanye West. I dropped out a couple times, but I went. I'm just being silly.
I didn't mean that like that. I meant it because I remember like Carla saying on like another episode that she actually on her last episode that she was talking about you know, the financial bag. She was talking about how she's an aspiring like law student, right? So like it carries weight right there. That's why like, I aimed that conversation. Don't at me right now, otherwise you know it can go south. Okay. When I write Brookline High School on a collegiate application, they know automatically. So my general classes will be the equivalent of an advanced placement or an AP class at a public high school. So that's advantage number one. Number two, junior year, end of sophomore year, going into junior year, they start to prep you for the SATs. And tell you test taking strategies, and they started to teach. The criteria, the grading criteria, is geared toward the SAT. So, I would definitely say you go in with an advantage.
Now, let me ask you a question. So, since private school is based off of donations and all that stuff, does GPA matter?
Yeah, it does. So
what happens to the private school student who's paying tuition? Because a lot of students, like, you know how it is. A lot of teenagers, they don't want to go to school. They don't really give a fuck, and they're just like, fuck this shit. I'm gonna just be mediocre, or I'm just gonna fuck up and fail all my classes. So what happens to those students who don't meet like the grade point average criteria, or is there even a grade point average criteria that you need to meet to stay in the school regardless of whether you're paying the tuition or not?
I mean, if I'm keeping it 100, usually what happens is if a student is in danger of failing out, their parents will donate a building or a bench to extend a grace period, and they'll pick up their grades for, you know, like one grading period and come off of academic probation, and then you know they'll go back right to the shit that they were doing. Like so I'm not sure like what it was like in like public school, but like we had academic probation. Which basically meant that you were staying after school with a tutor, and that if your grade slipped like a half a point, so if you went from like an A plus to an A or a B plus to a B, et cetera, that, you know, that was grounds for coming up with for a disciplinary action and or expulsion from the school, because they figured that your mind couldn't keep up with the work. So private school is run very much like a business, and if you're not holding up your end of the bargain in terms of making grades, then they don't take the time to deal with you. They'll just kick you out and move on to the next person.
Hey, time out. I got a real last question. How much are these benches? Because I need one, you know, like how much are these benches?
Listen, if you have to ask that question, you don't want to know.
Okay. All right.
But I kind of want to know.
I don't. It's out of my goddamn price range.
These benches are, you know, anywhere from like 50 to 75K.
What kind of ass is allowed to sit on there?
The finest.
Well, I mean,
the privileged asses.
Carla, how deep you want to go into this? Because
we can go as deep as we like, can go.
All right, so really, when I say donate a bench or a building, it's really a cover, right? So your parents basically write a check from 50 to 75K. They'll say, hey, we donated this bench. They'll put the family's name on the plaque or and whatever message you want inscribed. But at the end of the day, it's for them to reallocate those funds to other purposes. Like to build that bench probably cost about $500. And with the rest of the money, it goes to, you know, athletic equipment.
70,000
goes. It goes to like athletic equipment or a politician's campaign fund or scholarships for like less fortunate. Like they split it that way. If we're being completely honest, but you can't say that, hey, I'm donating to a scholarship in the name of XYZ. So, hey, look, man, I'm going to donate this bench. My family, you know, we're feeling rather generous. And then, so if they donated a bench that cost 75K, it's a greater write-off than it is if they donated to a scholarship.
Okay. That's interesting. So we got the private school aspect. So now the rest of us are public school system babies. the first question I want to ask, well, I'm gonna circle back around to you, Dewan. But for the public school system babies, I want to ask an important question, right? I would like to know, did you guys have ISS?
In school suspension?
Yeah.
All right, I ain't supposed to know that. But from my response, of course that we did. Of course we did.
Kendra.
I did, but it wasn't called that there. I can't think of what it was called, but we did have that.
Dewan, you ever heard of ISS?
What?
Have you ever heard of ISS?
You're talking. No, I heard the question.
let me ask the question a different way. Was ISS in private school?
I don't think so.
Okay.
You said it's there for in school suspension?
Yep.
Yeah.
No, that's like, you can't You can't be in school and suspended at the same time.
That's what you think.
So according to the public school system, you can be in school and suspended. So what they do is they isolate you and seclude you away. Like you miss a day of school, so it's kind of like you're absent from all of your classes.
But
so
you went through it.
They still call your house like, Carla Coley did not attend first period, second period, third period, fourth period. But you were on campus all day in ISS. And typically, go ahead.
Did you get your work?
No.
Man, we used to go to this motherfucking classroom, and we would sit up there and just sit there all day.
Yeah, so you can see all your friends and stuff, like, you know, it's like you there, but you not there.
What is the point of that?
It's punishment.
Come on, good question.
It's not punishment. It sounds like a nap.
No, it's punishment.
No, you can't sleep. You can't sleep in there.
You can't. No, you can't sleep.
Hell no, you can't.
You can't sleep. You'll get, they'll write you up if you go to sleep.
So, I mean, but you're already in trouble. So who gives a fuck if they write you up or not?
DeJuan, that was my attitude.
So we know we get written up. We had like referrals and we had teachers who were always trying to give us referrals. In ISS, no, there's no sleeping in ISS. Like Kendra said, like you link up with all your friends and y'all just be in there causing hell for whoever is running the ISS program.
It sounds like ISS is a bunch of bullshit. Like, no, suspend me for real. If a principal, if I go visit well, we had deans, right? You guys got principals, right? So if I go visit the dean, right, and he recommends some bullshit to me like ISS, I'm gonna be like, yo, what do I need to do to up my pressure? Like, what? How do I get this charge to get like fully suspended? What do you need me to do? Yes, because I'm just gonna tell my parents, I'm gonna make up some Jewish holiday or something that sounds Jewish, tell my parents that I'll have to go to school that day, and then I'm gonna play Xbox, smoke weed, and sleep like this.
You know, I think I agree with you, DeJuan. I wasn't sure if it was because they wanted to make us pay, you know, by like seeing our friends, you know, outside in the hallways, you know, going in their classes and we just sitting in the class all day. I don't know if it was that angle, or if it was, you know, I feel like it was a setup for failure because we end up missing class, you know. Yeah. But we still had to get dressed and go to class, you know. So as far as public school is concerned, I feel like that was a bad move, like, period, altogether. I agree with you totally, DeJuan. There's nothing effective about that type of punishment.
I just feel like if you're going to be on campus and, like, you're in ISS.
Exactly.
At least the teacher should at least send the work to that place.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
We're like, So maybe you don't get to go to the cafeteria and hang out, or you don't get recess or whatever the fuck, but like at least you have your work and you can complete your work and you know you're doing something constructive for your mind, because it's bullshit that you have to sit in a class and you're literally being skull fucked because you're trying to figure out things to do to entertain yourself because you can't go to sleep, but you have to be there. Like that's a foreign concept to me.
That's very like psych ward-ish. Like you just sit there and stare at the wall.
Man, I used to draw.
But you know what? I do agree. And that's one of the things that like really grinds my gears about public school. Because, all right, so boom. When you go on any State Department of Education's website, their motto is to provide an enriching curriculum like equally and across the board for all students. So if you're going to provide an enriching curriculum, how do you decide, oh, well, you misbehave, so you don't deserve to learn today. You don't deserve to sit in class. You don't deserve to even get your packet of work to pick up and, you know, pick up the pieces, because what happens is you sit in ISS and then you miss class, then you miss assignments, and then your grades become shit. So that's just one of the things that I think isn't fair about public school. But one of the things that I don't think is fair about private school is that they don't provide like an outlet or curriculum or a form for students who have special needs. And to me, that comes off as like discriminating, because it's like, who are you to say that this person whose parents are going to pay the same exact tuition that everyone else is paying, who's going to, you know, donate and all of this other shit, how is that child who has special needs not undeserving of getting a private school education just like everybody else? DeJuan, can you help me understand that?
Yeah, I can. I'm not sure we're going to be friends after this explanation, but yeah, sure. Okay. I can help you understand that. Private school is just that. It's a private school, right? You pay for the privilege of going there, and if you don't qualify, oh well. We're sorry that life handed you this set of circumstances. It's like when people bring up the argument of professional athletes and like how women are underpaid than more, like grossly underpaid, and men are grossly overpaid, right? It's kind of the same situation where, like, well, men's sports market more in terms, in other words, they generate more revenue via sponsorship. So these private entities can afford to pay their people more, or the same as the argument where professional athletes are paid more than teachers. Well, okay, professional athletes work for a private business and the teachers work for the government. The government can afford or have said that we're going to pay you this much. And if I own my business, then I can pay my employees how much ever I want. So like, just if people come up with a She Blows It, you know, LLC, and you can afford to pay your people $90 an hour versus somebody who's on anchor.fm/ She Blows It, right? If they
plug,
like, and they're on there just doing that, right? And they get like the bare minimum. Like, there's no, you shouldn't feel bad. It's not a disadvantage. If like, so the system is not to blame. That person's parents are for not doing better.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
damn. Okay.
Oh, damn.
Okay.
Who chose violence?
He did choose violence, but Duan, like, listen, I respect everybody's opinion. So I'm not ever gonna be like, oh, I don't like you because of your opinion. I am not that person. So you good with me. But I just wanna know why though. How is that not discrimination though? Like, how is it? I get it. Okay, you don't fit these qualifications, or you don't fit in, basically. So
no, ma'am. I can't. We can't go down that rabbit hole of not fitting in, because it's not that, right? So the issue in terms of segregation of public and private school is less to do with race and more to do about economics and politics. Right. So it's not about you don't fit in. It's more classism than it is discrimination.
Okay, status quo. Okay. But then I wasn't even talking about race. I was just talking about like people who may be like cognitively impaired in a way that maybe they learn differently. You know what I mean? Like in that
sense. But they can't be competitive. Right. So the acceptance to a private school is based off of how you can stand up and uphold and keep up with the curriculum being taught at that school. So it's judged on an individual basis, right? So the curriculum of the school is set, and based off of the laws of that state and the status that that school wants to ascertain and or maintain, then that's what the judgment is. It's kind of like college, right? Like, you can go to a state university, you're almost guaranteed to be accepted with like mediocre SAT scores. But if you want to get into Harvard, Princeton, or Yale, you need to knock it out of the park, because Harvard, Princeton, and Yale are privately owned institutions, whereas the state college is owned by the government. So we're judging you based off the criteria that we teach and whether or not you have the mental capacity to keep up. Because if we do accept everybody into this school and you come in and you do the class and you fall behind grossly because you have a mental handicap, it's not up to me to dedicate to bring you up. It's up to your parents to recognize where you are mentally and to appropriate you properly. So, and being a privately owned institution affords you that ability to make those judgment calls.
Oh, Eric.
Damn.
So, Eric.
Go ahead.
So with that information, right? With everything that Dewan just said, like, what do you think about public schools having special ed, or I don't know what they call it, but like just a program supporting those who may have cognitive impairments or cognitive disabilities? What do you think that says about the public school system?
Yo, first off, for the record, Dewan, damn. like,
yeah, he just literally, he just went in.
Damn. But like,
my bad.
I don't remember what they used to call those classes, but we all knew those classes. It was, and it kind of sucks to put it on. It sucks to put it on the parents, like, you know, their financial situation that they couldn't afford. They didn't have the resources to put their special needs child in said program, mm-hmm. said school system, said this, that, and the other. You know what I'm saying? It was just a matter of circumstances. But like, I think that public schools, especially with government funding, because
She blows it.
If you have, for public schools, if you had children with special needs, your government funding went up. Those kids who were in those classes, they had special lunch times. They had everything that we didn't have in regular classes, if that makes sense to y'all. That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
They had every fucking thing. And I mean, like, they had the personal, you know, you remember them one little personal piece of joints things? Like, they had breakfast, lunch, and a snack. I'm saying, like, when you have, in public schools, when you have, like, children with special needs, you get a lot more funding than regular educational curriculum.
Kendra.
Yeah.
Do you think that's fair, or do you think that's unfair?
That's fair. Wouldn't know it. Sorry.
Can you repeat the question for me, Carla?
Mm-hmm. I said,
do you think that, because Eric just touched upon a very like important piece there. He said that like with the special needs kid or students, that like that's more money trickled down into the school from the government, and that they get like extra courtesies that maybe, you know, you, myself, or Eric may not mm-hmm. have been privy to, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, considering that they do have cognitive impairments, cognitive disabilities, and maybe some of them have health ailments that require them maybe to have to eat snack at a certain time, or they have to have food at this time. But if we consider all the factors, like, do you think it's fair that the special needs children or students have more resources than, you know, just the general population of the school? Like, do you think that the general population of the school should have that same amount of resources used to help special needs?
I'm gonna go ahead and say yes. I think that we should all have the same resources available to us. Whether we're able to utilize those resources more effectively than the special needs children, I don't know that that matters. Why would they be getting anything extra? You know, like being treated differently is one thing, but if they have access to resources that we could benefit from, I don't feel like that's fair. No, they should be equal.
Because again, when you look at the any State Department of Education, they talk about the curriculum and uh-huh. Just the way that the school functions as a whole is supposed to be equal. So
right.
If we're going to say that, then that kind of makes it unequal. And I'm not being sensitive to anybody with any cognitive.
No, and I'm not either.
Oh, I know you're not. I'm just putting it out there for everybody, because you know, some people kind of, you know, Yes. Taking it the wrong way. We just having a little
But can I just say this too, Carla? I'm sorry to interrupt.
Absolutely.
But one thing that they, I don't know if they taught y'all this in school, and DeJuan didn't have a have these people in his school. But one thing they taught us was to teach the to treat them equal. They taught us to treat them equally. So that's going against their own word then, because they're not being treated as equals in that sense.
So you're saying there's a level of hypocrisy there?
Definitely.
Fuck them up.
Absolutely.
What you think, Eric?
I used to fuck them up in gym class.
What?
I'm going to treat your ass equal. Take this dodgeball.
You sound like my sister.
No. So, like, is that your way of being like, come on, toughen up. You got this. You good. You know.
No,
it.
Because I learned, like, I'm not even going to say his name because he was involved in something that was bigger than the whole thing. But anyway, there was this one kid. He was like, he was special needs, and like, he did not like the special treatment. He wanted to be treated like the rest of us. And he was like, why are you? Stop, Eric. Do not sit up there and do the voice. But he used to ask me, like, why are you, you know, like, we playing dodgeball, we playing kickball, you know, treat me regular. I was like, what? And he was like, treat me regular.
Mm-hmm.
And, I got his respect. And, you know, like, I respected him after he said that. So when it came to dodgeball.
That's your ass.
That's your ass. then again, he ended up going to being on CNN News, Fox News, and everything a couple years later. But that's that's something different. But go ahead. My school year was terrible.
DeJuan, do you think you would be able to survive in public school?
Yeah.
So, like, if you went into the privileged private school, where you could buy the $75,000 bench to sit $75,000 ass on, you think you can go from that to a public school where you got people writing whore and cocksucker in the bathroom and leaving their maxi pads on people's locker because they mad and little stupid shit like that? You
what
think you're able
you
to handle
okay. all that? Listen, man. It's yes, I could survive because at the end of the day, I mind my business. I'm about my business and I mind my business. So it's like the hardest thing about business is minding your own. Word to Drake, right? So like if I went to a public school and I'm hanging out with some people and I see that shit in the bathroom, I didn't write it. So what does that have to do with me? Right, like, you know, for a good time, call James's mom. Who gives a fuck? Like, that's none of my business, man. like you go to school and you go there to learn, right? And like, anytime that anybody sticks their nose where it doesn't belong, somebody gets hurt, right? So yeah, absolutely, because I one skill that private school did not teach me was how to mind my business, and that's it. Be about your business and mind your business. And you're fine.
So if you didn't learn how to mind your business in private school, where was it that you picked up that trait?
The streets of Boston. The mean streets of Boston.
I like the town. I give you that.
Okay. That was good. That was good. Okay. So, DeJuan, you hit on like kind of the economy, and you talked about politics was kind of like my next point. And just like the differences between private schools versus public schools and the differences and what do these differences mean? So you already talked about the socioeconomic status of it, where you could just pay to pass, right? But do you also believe, and this is a question for all of you guys, so I want all of you guys to chime in on this.
Okay.
But do you guys believe that the segregation of public schools and private schools is a direct representation of economic inequality?
Uh, Okay, wait a minute. Who answering this question first? Because I got something for it.
So it's not a direct reflection, because the reason that there are private schools and there are public schools is literally because of money. Like that's literally why, like, there's a difference, right? Like the government has taken on a responsibility of educating every child, right? So there's your public school, right? But some parents are like, well, I don't want my child going there because it's too many students and they can't focus on my child's individual needs and pay him the attention that this child deserves. So, and I'm in a position to do something about it, which is crucial. You can't say that, like, again, we're talking about like apples and oranges, right? But they're both fruit. So I wouldn't call it like segregation. It's just because, like, at the end of the day, like when I came home from school, like my same boys, like I had boys that went to like the roughest neighborhood, like the roughest school in Boston, right? And we were friends because there was relation there, right? And segregation to me denotes or kind of puts out a feeling of like complete and utter separation, and it's not that.
I just used that word because you used it.
You used it first.
No, you used it first, and I used it after you. Dawn, that was all you. You were like the segregation.
Negative. But
we gotta play it back.
Yeah, we'll see the playback. I use that word because of you, like, I kind of just roll with it, but. that word sits like foul with me, because when you think segregation, mm-hmm. you're thinking Brown v. Board of Education and the integration of like races of people, right? But we're talking about money, and that's literally the difference between you going to public and private school is who your parents are and how much money do they have.
So curriculum wise, do you think that the education is different than public school?
I wouldn't know. I got no basis for comparison.
We wouldn't know either. So I guess that's a question that none of us could answer here then.
Well, hold on.
Okay, Eric, come.
I mean, we can't figure it out.
We can figure this out, because like when it comes to,
let's unpack it.
Let's unpack this.
That private school education, like, as I had, you know, like when my daughter was born, I was looking at private schools. I was, and I actually, I look at the private schools, and I was sitting up there thinking, like, yo, she networked, she connected, you know, like her educate. It ain't even about the education wise. Like I'm paying X amount of dollars for her to get an education, but I'm also paying X amount of dollars for her to get said future job. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So like I know my education was it wasn't shit, but it wasn't far from it. Even taking AP classes, because a lot of the people who were in private schools or who went to Catholic schools, they, you know, like the shit that they were learning in third grade, I didn't find out until fifth grade. Like, so when it comes to education and advancement in life, not just curriculum, in life alone, because when you go to those private schools or those Catholic schools, your connections and your network is more broader than the public school. For to be in public school, you got to stand out by playing some type of sport, pretty much.
Yo, but the dogma at a private school is different than the dogma at a public school. Like, you go to a public school and, like, from what, you know, people tell me, like, you're kind of just like, hey, do this, get into a good school. Like, if you do really well, you can get some scholarships and even, you know, you get some grants and even scholarships to go to, like, a really good school. If you're good at sports, you're definitely going to go, that kind of stuff, right? But, like, every day when you went to school and every day that I went to school, the message was different. Like, definitely. From... Yeah. So like, I feel like the messaging is kind of like, if you go to a public school, when you show up, they say, hey, look, please just do your work and don't kill anybody today. Versus,
okay. Because you said that, did y'all have metal detectors?
No, bro. Like, okay. I didn't even have to. I didn't have to go to class. I could legit be like, okay, there's a class going on, and I'm gonna be like, yo, I'm not going. I'm gonna sit in the cafeteria, and the teacher of that class, following that class, could walk right by me and be like, hey, I missed you in class. And I look at her and be like, I didn't feel like going, and she was like, okay.
That's because you were paying for your education.
Yeah,
you were paying for your education. My education was free, but
here's the thing with that, like, psychology says that the way that they teach at private school is better because it's less stress, right? So like,
yo, the teachers getting paid more.
I'm just saying, like, you know what I mean, like, where, like, what my original point was, like, the mantras, like, that go on, right? Like, so, like, at a public school, they say, hey, look, do your work, don't kill anybody today. Versus at a private school, the world is yours. Handle it responsibly. That's two different messages.
You're right, it is.
Eric, you have anything else?
Hell no. I don't, because in private schools, I would expect the teachers to be like, you know what, Dewan, we didn't see you in class. Oh, you didn't feel like going? That's fine. Because they're getting their annual salary is probably 3 to 4 times larger than the public school teachers. Mm-hmm. So I expect them not to probably give a fuck if Dewan did not show up to goddamn chemistry.
Mm-hmm. No. That's not true at all. That's not true at all. Like, my teachers were some of, like, the most caring, nurturing, and, like, supportive.
But I don't think that matters.
I don't think that...
No, it definitely matters. It definitely matters because... hear me out on this. Let me get this in. It definitely matters because you spend, as a kid, you spend about 70 to 80% of your time at school. Right? And it's the public teachers and don't care if you don't show up to class. Like, I feel like it's the public school teachers to be like, hey, if he doesn't show up to class, I don't give a fuck. But the private school teachers, like, well, I can only speak from my experience. They would come to me and be like, you missed class today. And say, hey, I didn't feel like going. And then they pull up a chair next to me. What's going on? Are you feeling okay? Like, go ahead.
No. Okay, real quick. Have you ever worked at a job that paid you like they paid you under $10? Under $10.
Nope.
Stop. All right. Well, now, no. Okay. Great. I'm glad you said no. I'm glad you said no. Okay. So if you worked at a job that paid you under $10 an hour, right? And they wanted you to, like, let's just say you're a cashier. Oh, yeah, by the way, you're a cashier. You also got to clean the lobby, the bathroom. I need you to help out on drive-through, this, that, and the other. They're trying to stretch that $10. Out of that $10, they're trying to give you 10 different assignments, right? How many fucks about that job do you give?
Bro, you better give all of them. Because you volunteered to take that job. Nobody fucking cracked the whip across your back and told you nigger. Nobody told you that, bro.
Answer the question.
Listen. Here's you're actually proving my point, right? Based off of the way that, like, they taught lessons, you give 100% of you at 100% of everything that your name is attached to, right? Versus, I don't give a fuck you do, right? So, like, granted, as a person, right? You may take Kendra's mentality and be like, "Yo, I'm not about to go this above and beyond. Yeah, I'm gonna do this and not get fired." Yeah, but that's about it. As a person, as a person, you might feel that way, right? But then that comes back to what your environment, how you was raised, what you were taught. You were taught to, like, do everything with excellence and eat. Like, you were in the military, bro, and you fucking hated the Navy. Let's call a spade a spade, but it doesn't.
I'm an asshole. I'm sorry, not an asshole. But here's the thing.
Like, it doesn't take away from the point. Like, you would wake up every morning and be like, fuck, I'm still in. I'm still enlisted. Fuck the Navy. And we would stand post, and like, you did your job and you did it well because your name was attached to it. So that's the equivalent. So like, if you sign up for a job, then I mean, in your scenario, you signed up for the job, so like, your name's on it, so you better give 110% because you signed up for it. Nobody fucking forced you to go work there.
But regardless of whether he's not.
Realistically, you're not. People that work those type of jobs, they do not give a fuck. They're not going to go above and beyond. Those are facts. True. Don't and nobody that had that job just go above and beyond.
This is the one time I
learned. That's the difference. And that's the difference between people that make shit happen and people that shit happen. That's the difference right there.
Okay, I'm going to give you that. But when we go back to the school teachers, the reason why those attitudes differ is because the quality, the amount of money that they're getting paid.
Bingo.
Yeah, but you guys approve my point, right? My initial point to jump in this was Eric said to me that the teacher probably didn't give a fuck if I went to class or not. And I'm proving, and I told you that she did. And that's the lessons and the fostering environment that these private schools offer. Well, in my school,
she didn't give a fuck enough to tell you to take your ass to class after you said, "Oh, I don't feel like it." You know, that's yeah. I mean, no,
but
you,
she
you
did.
Pick and choose but, when you what are you gonna care about?
No. But she did give enough of a fuck to sit with me after I missed that class to figure out why I missed it and how
you
she could better
the class though.
Yeah, but guess what? I got the makeup work and I got a tutor.
So it was the empathy and the compassion from the teacher.
When you're almost getting paid six figures a year, I mean, I'm going to give a fuck. How come you ain't in class? I like my job.
Here's the difference that I'm hearing. So in public schools and private schools, so maybe in private schools, they actually care, but in private school, I'm sorry, in public schools, like, they don't really give a fuck if you don't go to class, but there are principles and guidelines that they have to follow. So I were at my school in the lunchroom, like, fuck this, I'm not going to class, they will be escorting me to class. It will be punitive if I defy, and I'll get in trouble for that. Whereas your teacher will actually sit down and say, okay, well, what's going on? Like, are you not understanding the material and giving your content? So it's a different level of caring. Like, you're caring because you're genuinely into this job, because obviously you're making like decent money. Whereas public school teachers, like, you have people out here with no college degree working jobs and making more money than teachers who have been in school for, you know, 4 to 6 years, getting their licensures and certificates and going through grad school, making more money than them. So absolutely, to Kendra's point, you're like, the treatment is going to be different, and that's why it's more of a punitive thing when we don't go to class. So it's kind of like, you know, they don't really care, but they have to pretend to care, because you know, if one student mm-hmm. is doing it, then it's like, okay, well, then we're going to have all these students out here and we're not going to have control. And it's all about control, too. Like, having control. So you say public, private school is a business. Public school is a business, too. And public school is, like, structured like, I mean, you could say it's structured like the military. Like, okay, the bell rings. You know, you get up, you stand up, you pack up your bag, you go to the next class, sit down, you listen to that teacher, bell rings again, you get up, bell rings again, you know you got to go to lunch, bell rings again, you know you got to go to third period, bell rings again, you know you got to do this. So
I don't lunch at second period. I'm sorry. What happened,
Eric? What'd you say?
No, I was saying, why is your lunch period? No, but like, I wouldn't say it's modeled to the military. I would definitely say to more like, this is the curriculum. This is what you do. You either make it or you don't.
When I referenced the military, I just referenced it. I guess I should have kind of clarified myself just from a standpoint of it's very strict and disciplined. Yo. Whereas Dewan could get away and be nurtured for saying fuck this class.
If I'm keeping it 100, I would go to class like high, like a lot of the time, right? And I was able to wear like clear tinted, like, you know, like one shade tinted like sunglasses and glass, right? And I had like my prescription dropped into the glass, so like they were actually in effect my glasses, but like, yo, it's less about privilege and more about philosophy of education.
Okay. I like that. I agree with that.
So that's really the major difference. It's about philosophy and education, where like the private school curriculum should be taught at a public school level, but that doesn't happen because somebody has to be the working class.
Yeah. And then, Dewan, you bringing me into my next point. Okay, which when we were talking about like the integration of public schools and private schools, that kind of what you're basically saying is it's kind of an erasure of status quo. It's an erasure of kind of like the hierarchy between, like, I hate to say it this way, but this is like the only thing I could think of for lack of better words, but kind of the differences between the haves and the have-nots.
Yeah, 100%. Like, but I mean, that's the principle that this country was founded upon. I mean, let's be clear here. The original families that sent their children to private schools wanted their children to be separate because they had off the backs of slaves, which provided free labor for this country to become as great as it is. Right. So, I mean, let's be clear here. And then if you know, anybody who's read the Laws of Power, the paraphrase of law number one is never share power. And the most powerful form that anybody has is their mind. So somebody has to be the working class in order to drive the economy. If you go and look at statistics and stats now, that our currency is no longer principally founded by gold as it used to be. It's now is now funded by debt. And I was talking to somebody about this on air somewhere, but debt is the new currency. So every time that you apply for a student loan or apply for a home loan or apply for a vehicle loan, that's what actually authorizes the government to print more money versus the gold that it used to be. Because when you sign your signature to a piece of paper for a $20,000 loan, the government has got to print $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, like after they calculate the interest off of like what you're going to be paying. And that's why all of a sudden the big push for like credit scores and what's your FICO and here's what I'm going by now versus like, yo, back in the day, like what'd you use in the 80s and the 90s before the internet was a thing? You use whether or not the person had the fucking 20% down payment, right? But this type of thing, like somebody has to be the working class eating. But if somebody works and then somebody tells the worker what to do, then everybody.
What do y'all think about that?
I'm not going to disagree with him about somebody has to be the working class. You know, like somebody got to do put the work.
And then that trickles back down, like the working class, obviously, with taxes, we fund certain things for, you know. We basically fund, like, our tax dollars are going towards all of this. So for sure, we do need a working class. Kendra, you have any thoughts on that?
For the most part, I feel like I actually agree with Dewan on that one.
Yeah, me too. I agree.
Yes, bitch. We agree. Yes.
So, check this out, right? So, one of the most compelling things to me are the differences in like interactions and like the shit that goes down in public schools and private schools. And I have some friends who've attended public schools, and they say that is no different than, did I say public? I meant to say, I have friends who attended private school, and they say that there's no difference between the private school and the public school when it comes to behaviors and the things people do, how they act. They're not like excluded from like drugs, because in public schools you have people doing drugs in the bathroom all the time, depending on what area you're in. I lived in Georgia for a few years, and I went to Chapel Hill High School there. I didn't graduate from there. But when I talk about doing drugs in the bathroom, like, I remember this girl, she used to always be just fucked up, and she would just be in the bathroom just doing whatever she was doing. So we're like kind of all exposed to that. So what I want to know from you guys, like, what is one of the craziest experiences that you've been through in your school? And I'm going to start with the public school babies first. Kendra.
I think one of the craziest experiences for me was watching riots happen. I remember, I think I was in ninth grade, that was my first year there. And I ain't gonna say I had a lot of guy friends. I didn't have guy friends. I was just like cooler with the guys than girls. So mm-hmm. I was with a couple guys standing outside of our class before we went into the class. And I don't know how this escalated, but before I know it, a little Mexican dude was on the floor and the black dudes was like literally kicking his head in. And I'm literally like, yes, I'm literally like, and I'm a late bloomer. My birthday is in September, so I'm like a year usually. I was like a year younger than most of the kids. And so I'm just like, oh my God, what is happening? Like, and they like, Kendra, go. So I leave, you know, and they start, the security comes and they're shutting things down. They're like, you guys gotta go home. And that was my first year of high school. I think this is like the first couple of months in high school, and that was the most traumatic thing I had ever seen. Like I had never seen nothing like that before, but being at that school, it was actually a thing. I just was unaware of it because it was my first year there, but we had riots quite often actually, and it was a race war. It was blacks against Mexicans, and those, I mean, we would have those at least at minimum once a month, and the school would be shut down for a couple of days. So that was the most craziest experience that I had in high school, I think.
That's interesting, because I read this book called The Freedom Riders, and there was actually a teacher in the public school system who was really nurturing, and she really cared about her job. And like, from her lens, she had all different variations, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, and mm-hmm. she was able to kind of see just how fucked up it is for minorities. Like, you know, you had some of her students were involved in like shootings, some of her students, you know, got killed, some of her mm-hmm. students were, mm-hmm. you know, getting into like just fucked up shit. And like, it showed like the culture, you know, of the public school system in a different light, like where you actually have a teacher that is willing to say, hey, like, this is not what you're supposed to be doing. We have a teacher that is involved in like the personal happenings mm-hmm. in your life to say, hey, like, you're mm-hmm. a good writer. Like, your writing is meaningful. It's impactful. Like, you can actually do something with this. Like, use this as your outlet, not being a blood or a crip. Like, mm-hmm. use your writing and your creativity and your mind to, you know, expound upon your knowledge and get yourself out there instead of fucking around with all that bullshit in the streets. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? That just kind of brought me back to that. And you talk about riots. Like, we didn't have riots at my school, but what we did have, we had a lot of food fights. We had a lot of fights. Like, we had a lot of people who just beefed with each other. And down here in Florida, when it is hot, people are mad. People are pissed. So, you know, during the hot times, I mean, it's always hot. Like, it's hot. Like, I remember going to the beach in December, like, and it was hot as fuck. So it's like, when it's hot, people, their blood starts to boil. And you have people fighting in the lunchroom. You have people fighting on the bus. I remember I used to take the bus to school, by the way. I'm not ashamed to say that even, but I used to take the bus to school, and like, just the level of disrespect, like, people would like throw lotion bottles at the bus driver while he's driving.
That's so public school.
People would be like, hey, yo, fuck you. Fuck you, man. Fuck you. Like, they would be cursing the bus driver out. And I'm just like, yo, this man has all of our lives in his hand, and y'all are throwing lotion bottles and water bottles and shit at this man. Like, come on. We got to do better than this. We have got to do better. Another thing that I've seen was like at our football games. I remember going to a football game, and this was like around homecoming time, and like just out of nowhere, we just go pop, 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 and our people, we don't ask questions. We run and then we ask questions later. So I picked up all that stuff and I ran and I slipped my little small ass between the bleachers and jumped down on the ground and hauled ass like they were pepper spraying people and masonry. I'm like, what the fuck? It was a real like shooting. And then on top of that, like, we had bomb threats at our school. I remember we, like, the school is huge. Like, our school was three stories, and it was like you had an east wing, a west wing, you had like the central area, so it was a very large school. So we had like the track field and the football field, and every time somebody decided that they wanted to call in and play around, and it would usually be a student calling in, like playing around and saying it's a bomb threat, we have to walk all the way to the end of the football field, to the end of the gate, and we would just stand there in the hot sun, and it wouldn't make it any better, because now you have everybody outside, then you got the people who beefing with each other, so not only are we in a bomb threat, but you got people outside at the gate, like, ready to scrap and throw hands and stuff like that. So those were my experiences, and it kind of puts you in a position to like, all right, you know, I need to be a little more callous. Like, I'm not no punk. And what we and the terminology that we use down here, I don't know if you guys heard of this. Do you guys know what pie means? Like, when somebody says you're pie?
No.
Okay, that means like you're soft, you're a punk, you're a pussy. Like, that's what that means. Okay. So it's like, you know, you have to kind of acquire this mindset of, I'm not about to be pie. So you have to become very callous in public school, because people will try it. So Kendra, we got your riots. We got like my whole spiel on the football games and the bomb threats and fights. Mm-hmm. Eric, come on, let's hear it from you.
My high school made CNN and Fox News. Seriously, like, we had a few guys sit up there and try to plan a Columbine style shoot at my high school. Every fashion show there was a riot. Summer school, oh my god, summer school fights, like, anything where we were gather, are we fighting? You know, like, you know, we had the, I'm pretty sure everybody had that, but we had women, the high school girls who used to talk to the dudes, who 22-year-old guys who used to come back to the school and mess up our game for, you know, young whippersnappers trying to get at it. You know, them niggas used to come back, little pedophiles. Anyway, that's just my feel. But like, no, seriously. Like, the biggest thing was when we had a Columbine style attack on my, and you know, we made the news and everything. Like, we was out of school for like 2 weeks, you know, until they figure shit out. But that's probably like the thing that happened in my school. Yeah.
So we saved the best for last. We saved the private school baby for last.
That's my new rap name.
I changed your name up on Young Privilege.
Yo, hey, mixtapes are coming out February 31st. Suplexes and Rolexes. Yeah. we snapping necks and cashing checks. You know what I'm saying? For So listen, I'm not about to speak names or instances because I'm not trying to open cases, right? But you're right at your original point, in the fact that the behavior of the students at both levels, I wouldn't call it levels, at both versions of the institution are the same, right? Mm-hmm. And at private school, I will say that, like, educationally, we were instructed to the same curriculum or the same baseline as a public school, because everyone had to take the standardized test at the same grade. You know what I mean? Like, so fifth graders in private school, so had to take the same, you know, standardized test as a fifth grader in public school. Right. So the teachers kind of taught the curriculum, just a side note. But I mean, the mentality, let's use this as a metaphor to teach the mentality. Right. And the different level of teaching that's being taught there. Like a public school guy getting the fist fights. You guys have race wars at school, in the parking lot, in the bathroom, what have you. But at private school, they taught us that being a real gangster means that you get away with the shit. So I don't need a scene. I need to be as discreet as possible. So if me and somebody got beef, we go to, like, you know, the back stairs in the basement at Tappan Hall. You know what I mean? There's no cameras down there. Or, like, if I'm gonna do something, I'm going to do something, and they're just going to find you. You know what I mean? Like, and that's the difference in the level of education, where, like, the public school, like, I don't give a fuck. Well, I'll set it off right here. And private school taught us, hey, man, like, being a G is about getting away with the shit. And like, you know what I'm saying? That's you know, that's the best metaphor I got.
So what you're saying is that the public school is Scarface and the private school is the Godfather.
I like it.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Perfectly. Well done.
Those are my two favorite. Those are, well, one of my two favorite movies. So that's why I was like, okay.
Yeah. Well, like, yeah. The public school will have you, you know, shooting it out with the DEA, and you know what I mean. And the public school, once you finally do get caught, you're allowed to surrender your assets because you get time to arrange your affairs. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's a difference in that.
That's interesting, because if we compare the public school to Scarface, and the private school to the Godfather, like, now my brain go. It just makes me wonder, like. This is going to sound terrible, but, like, statistics is terrible, especially when it comes to certain shit in the first place. But it just makes me wonder, like, are public school students more likely, like, when it comes to, like, the fighting and not being discreet and not being strategic and not, like, covering all your bases, like, does that put them at a higher chance of incarceration than it does a private school student, where they know how to get away with shit?
Absolutely, it does. But it all comes down to like, again, fostering, like, the right environment, right? Because, like, if, like, at private school, like, they teach you restraint in all aspects of life, in violence and anger and finances, and they teach you restraint and, like, to make the most calculated decision. Whereas public school is like, look, man, we just trying to get through this shit. Like, the teacher don't fucking want to be there because she's not getting paid enough, and the students don't want to get there because they don't really believe that the teacher knows what the fuck she's talking about. Whereas in private school, it's kind of like, hey, look, all right, professor. You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, on that note, we're going to wrap things up here. I appreciate all of you guys, my tribe, for joining me, especially at the last minute.
Hey.
You know, we got you. No questions asked, man. We got you.
Oh, likewise. I got y'all too. But I want to thank everyone for tuning into this episode number 4, public school versus private school. And just before we end this here, I want to give a special shout out to the educators, to the teachers who, you know, actually care, to the teachers who but put their life on the line right now. You have teachers going back to school in the coronavirus, and they're still very, there's some teachers who are still very, very passionate about what they do. And I see that through my son's teacher. So I can say that there are some very passionate teachers in the public school system. So shout out to all the teachers who don't get what they deserve, but they still put 100% effort into it. Like, y'all are so appreciated. This conversation had to be had because we really don't talk about it. We really don't talk about like the differences and how differently the school system and private schools mold us. But then we also we kind of don't tap into, you know, the similarities, because although they do differ, there are some similarities. There are pros and cons to everything in life. So big shout out to the teachers. Y'all are just amazing. Keep pushing, keep striving. Hopefully with this new cabinet we have here, we can, you know, we'll be able to pour more into education. It just seems like with everything that goes on with, you know, with the market and the economy, the education is sometimes overlooked. And that's just evident, again, through teachers not getting the compensation that they deserve after going into student debt to do this job in the first place.
Right.
So thank you all for tuning into the She Blows It podcast. I'm going to go ahead and start with Kendra. Go ahead and tell us where we can find you on your platforms and what you have coming up next.
Okay, guys, you guys can find me pretty much on Instagram at Coffee with Kendra. My podcast is available on all streaming platforms, including YouTube. I have a visual up there. I drop a new podcast. Thank you. I drop a new podcast every Friday, and I am live on Instagram every Saturday at 2:30 Pacific time.
All right. Go check out Kendra. Her YouTube is awesome, by the way. Like, I was hooked on your cheating episode. It was great. It was amazing.
Thank you.
Good insight, good information for women to hear to step their game up.
Thank you.
Y'all ain't gonna listen.
What?
Who was y'all?
Women.
Okay.
He's trying to say we hard-headed. Okay, Dewan.
Dewan, go ahead. Tell us where we can find you, what special projects you have coming up.
Oh, my goodness. I'm Dewan O'Neill. Find me Dewan O'Neill 1, where you can tune in for conversations just like this one every Thursday night at 9 p.m. with this same tribe, Grown Man Logic, which just launched today. First episode of the podcast, which is available on all streaming platforms as well. On the lookout for, actually, the next thing that I have coming up is DewanO'Neill.com launches May 11th. So be on the lookout for that one. And that's going to have like all of the merchandise. So like if you hear something that you like on these podcasts or something that's habitually mentioned on all of these podcasts, like sayings, slogans, words of advice, tidbits of information, you're going to be able to get merchandise, coffee cups, t-shirts. There's a page that has like the message of the week on there where, like, you know, I'll come and I'll get some stream of line consciousness into my mindset. So DewanO'Neill.com is coming out May 11th. After that is the spoken word album coming this fall, Before They Kill Me. We're grinding hard.
Before They Kill Me. Oh my gosh, that's gonna be so amazing. Just a little bit that I saw, like, I was crying. I was like, oh my gosh. I thought about my son. I was like, oh my gosh, that was great.
Dewan, congrats on the podcast, man.
Yes.
thank you all for,
you are, you know, now a podcaster.
Thanks for bullying me into this venture. I'd like to thank my executive producer, Dominic E, and my mentor, my podcast mentor.
Okay.
everybody on this line right now, because like all of the money and all of the residuals is going to go back to him and his college fund. So subscribe.
Yes.
Okay.
And definitely, you guys, make sure you purchase his book, Dear Dominic.
Please.
It is amazing. It's the letters that he's writing to his son, but it goes so far beyond that. If you're reading it, and I just want to kind of touch up on something. Y'all gonna need to buy the book, but I'm just gonna give y'all one of my favorite points in the book, because I'm all about diversity and I'm all about difference. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite chapters in Luan's book was letter 10, The Strength in Difference. And I quote here, "You have access to all these different types of people and more so. Do not allow yourself to be cornered into one way of thinking." And, you know, that was my favorite chapter. That is my favorite quote in the book, because that is how I live. That's my principle. That's what I stand on. We can't be cornered into one way of thinking. Hence why we had this very diverse conversation. Mm-hmm. We all have.
Wait, I said that?
You said that.
Oh, shit.
Yep.
Oh, shit. Look at me go.
You said that. You said that in letter 10, Strength and Difference. Second paragraph, last sentence. So I wanted to leave y'all with that from Dewan's book, but this book is like definitely for anybody, you know, who's seeking guidance, who's seeking a different outlet, who's seeking a different perspective, and who wants to kind of build upon their emotional intelligence. So check out his book. I'll put the link down in the description box, so you can just go there, click, boom, link to your Amazon, and purchase it. Mine got here.
Thank you so much.
Anytime. Eric.
Hey, how you?
Come on, Eric. With it, come on.
First off, I know, like, you know, I've been here so many times. Where's my air mattress? I'm in She Blows. I'm on She Blows It more than I'm on my own podcast. Y'all know who I am. You know that one guy, The Uncomfortable Convo on Instagram. Right now, what am I working on? Oh yeah. Marsharee gonna kill me for saying this, but we working on this Spend the Night bag. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's cuffing season, you know. I heard a lot about that vaccine, so y'all need to go ahead and get y'all like that. It'll be on Uncomfortable Conversation, uncomfortablecombo.com, or So Taylor Designs. I'll let y'all know all of the details, but get that Spend the Night bag. Y'all could catch me every Monday, anchor.com/uncomfortableconvo. Catch me every Thursday, IG Live. Grown Man Logic with a shot of it. Sometimes I'm on She Blows It. Sometimes I'm at Coffee with Kendra. And I'm everywhere, okay. Baby. I'm everywhere, baby.
Period. Period.
I got nothing else, though. You know, I'm here all the time. I know they tired of hearing
me. No, Eric, but I want you to tell us about Sweet 505 Wines and where we can find it so we can grab a bottle.
Sweet 505. Sweet 505 Wines. You know, these two young women in the medical field, they decided to sit up to start a wine business, because what is life without wine? Go to sweet505wines.com. That's sue505wines with a S at the end .com. You know, like they're coming up on their annual. They've been in almost business for almost a year, so they're coming up on a year. Go ahead and support those ladies. I love them over. I love them. They always keep me not inebriated. Is that the word I'm looking for? That's the word. That's what I'm rolling not with. But yeah, sweet505wines.com. The Uncomfortable Convo.
Bro, they got a peach raspberry beret.
Dude, listen, look, they sell out so fast. They got blueberry noir. They got a sangria.
Blush me. What is this?
Blush me.
I'm buying a bottle right now.
Yeah. Okay. I'm saying, listen, look, the content, alcohol content.
Juwan, save one for me. I don't drink, but I'm supportive, so I'm gonna grab one anyway.
hey, Kendra, while you bullshitting, I might be moving out to Cali like spring of next year. So,
yeah,
we might have to make sure. Happen.
Of course,
I'm you know what I'm saying? Me and Carla going to eat and shit, but whatever. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Carla. Carla, but next time I come here, you better have my goddamn air mattress. I'm always on this goddamn podcast.
Your air mattress is already here, Ed. You already got the air mattress.
Hey man, you better be bargaining for a futon. Know your worth, King.
I don't.
I can't even argue with that. But thank you all for tuning in. And again, in the words of Duane O'Neill, do not allow yourself to be cornered into one way of thinking. I appreciate everyone who took the time out to listen to this podcast. I hope that you learned something, gain something, and that you're inspired or encouraged, or maybe you didn't like it. You can find this podcast and latest content on Instagram at SheBlowsIt_pod, and you can catch me live on Instagram every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Grown Man Logic podcast /
yes.
we in here and that's all, folks.
Peace out.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Later.
All right, I see you. You know that.
Okay. Why are you still on here? Click.
Yeah, baby.
Just click on the app. Just click on the link. You're supposed to be able to put your name in. Hey, Eric, you back? You here?
No, I'm not.
Can you hear me well? Like, do I sound good?
Yeah, you do.
I feel like when I record with other people, it doesn't sound right.
All right, stop what you're doing,
because
I'm about to ruin the image and the style that you're using.
Eric,
I look funny.
What?
We hear your music in the background.
My bad.
Oh, no, don't say my bad. That was good. What do the differences mean? And
I ain't looking up no references. I'm just freestyling this shit.
Use your references.
I'm just here.
What integration? So we got to think of integration. Who's this? Duane.
There go Duane right there.
How's my audio?
Your audio is good. And what integration would look like? What integration of the private schools and public schools would look like?
I mean, why don't I have bullshit.
How do I sound, you guys?
You sound more clear and louder than on the live.
How about now?
You sound good. You good.
Do I sound the same or do I sound louder?
The same.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it like quality though? Do I sound clear as a crystal?
No.
This all, I don't know why it does that.
I've heard better.
Really? Damn.
From you. I'm holding you accountable to you.
Yeah, holding me accountable to getting another platform, because when I record by myself, it sounds so good. Okay, Kendra, you're in. All right. We're
nope.
Go. Oh, she's in.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, you go.
Yeah, there you go.
How it sound?
You sound
loud. Great.
Okay, good. I got my mic working. It worked from my MacBook.
Okay.
Hey, you got feedback. Can you turn your computer down a little bit?
Y'all still on?
How about now?
Nope, still feedback. Try it.
Hello.
Better, way better. Carla, darling.
Hold on, y'all. Apple Podcast. I'm getting my introduction in the Russell Fall and play. Apple Podcast, Amazon Music.
Hey, real quick, what days do you guys drop your episodes?
I drop on Fridays.
I drop on Friday.
I drop Mondays.
I did do research before I started, and one of the hot days was Wednesday. If you're thinking about for us, research shows that Wednesday is a good day to drop a podcast.
Done deal.
Okay.
Do y'all so when y'all right before y'all publish, do y'all set it up? Like, cause y'all be like, yo, it's gonna drop at midnight. Like, do y'all stay up to publish it at midnight, or do y'all?
You can
like,
set it.
Is
it.
No, with Anchor, you can set it to drop at midnight on said day.
Bet.
Yeah, you can schedule them out.
Yeah, you can. Anchor now allows you to do like a publish date, so you can like publish it. You can record it and set it to publish whenever you want it to publish.
Am I echoing again?
No.
So it's okay?
Say something.
Okay.
But okay, you guys, really, I sound bad. Like, I sound low.
You don't... No, you sound... you sound like you got a reverb effect on your voice. But so do I, actually. It's the app.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Wait, but Eric, say something.
Real niggas talk shit.
Yeah, Carla, it sounds like you're not on the mic.
Wow.
To me, what do y'all think?
Because I have my mic plugged in. But that's what I'm saying. Like, when I have guests on Anchor, like, when I have people with me, I always sound different. But, like, if you listen to the recordings of me doing it by myself, the quality and the sound is much better. I don't know why. Like, have you guys listened? I know DeJuan listens. And DeJuan, like, did you see the difference between the episodes I did by myself and the ones that I do with other people?
Yeah, when you do it with other people, but, what was the girl?
But
the young woman, you were low.
Yeah, you were low then, but like I think your audio, like your volume is fine now. I don't think there's a distinctive difference. I think do you have a sound shield around your mic?
I do. Should I turn that around?
Maybe try it. Perhaps maybe.
Perhaps I should try that. Maybe it'll work.
Maybe it'll work.
How about now, you guys? Do I sound a little bit better?
Oh, just a tad. Yeah. I think we can roll with this one. Yeah.
All right, y'all. Then boom. Let's do this.